Welcome to Your Business or Your Life with Joshua D. Brewer, co-founder of The Patria Company, the podcast where we discuss real business issues and how they affect our lives as business owners, always keeping in perspective that our business is not our life. It is just a vehicle that we use to experience a better life.
Okay, here we are, son and father, JJ and Joshua Brewer, and welcome to episode 3 of Your Business or Your Life. Today we are discussing the topic, Sales is Not Marketing, for the Contractor Series. Why on earth do we have a Contractor Series?
Well, because we have a lot of contractor clients, and contractors are in a really interesting situation in this particular time of history in the United States, where we have a much more informed consumer. We have way, way more people that are doing DIY projects, and we have a lot more information about how projects can be done. Manufacturers are putting out a lot more information about their products, comparing them. So it's just a completely different environment compared to 20 or 30 years ago. And one of the things that is really different is the fact that, you know, 20, 30 years ago, you could be successful by just knowing your trade really well. And you didn't have to necessarily be that technically proficient. For example, so again, we're talking about the fact that sales is not marketing, right? So years ago, when you wanted to do some marketing, and let's say that somebody, you're sitting in the office and you might be going over some blueprints and you might be putting together a bid for a customer. All of a sudden there's a knock on the door. And who's outside but the local Yellow Pages salesman. They're coming literally to your establishment. They're sitting down with you and they're going to explain to you about the different ad sizes, you know, what's a quarter page, what's a half page, what's a full page size. They're the marketing expert for their medium, for the actual Yellow Pages. Your job as a business owner is to listen and know what's going to be the most meaningful for my target market. Did that require you to understand how to print the actual Yellow Pages book?
No.
Did it require you to understand, you know, all the different, you know, color codes and everything that goes into making the ad or determining, you know, all the specific sizes and the bleed over and everything that goes into making the actual publication? Not at all. The game has changed. The game has changed big time, especially in the last 10 years. And because we have so much information available at our fingertips, now the expectations of our customers within the construction industry have really gone up. And I have seen probably more resistance within the construction industry than within any other industry. Because as you know, leading the Patria Company and working with over 700 companies that span the all kinds of industries. I mean, I don't have to go through all my resume, but you know, I've worked in just about every industry that exists. I have just some limited exposure in healthcare. But the challenge is that it was so ingrained. One, because construction has been around for thousands of years, and even modern construction has changed very, very little. I mean, we can look at green building standards and everything that goes into technology when it comes to insulation and building materials and everything that has changed. When you look at that as a percentage of the way that we have built homes for the last 50 or 100 years, mm-hmm. percentage-wise, like no change at all, right? You look at the way that a computer was built 100 years ago, mm-hmm. not, right? I mean, I can remember actually the old IBM machines, literally the tape, the big tape cassettes that were holding the information on the computers, mm-hmm. right? So I was sharing my experience of working at the CAT dealership when I was just out of the Air Force back in episode one. Mm-hmm. And I can remember going in to this office space and they literally had the old terminals. They were still doing their AR and AP, so their accounts receivables, accounts payables, mm-hmm. running their accounting off of these dinosaur computers with just like the green, you know, backlit mm-hmm, yeah. Cathode monitors, mm-hmm. right? And an attached, none of these was a computer. They were all connected to this big central computer locked in the back room, mm. right? And, you know, this was we just had gotten laptops, like from some of the very first, I don't know if you remember, the very first ThinkPads, the mm-hmm. IBM ThinkPads, right? I mean, this was like, This technology is so old, it really is laughable.
Yeah.
But I mean, we were running on, you know, Windows 3.1, but the main part of how this business was run was still running these huge old IBM machines, big, huge server room, right? And I mean, it was probably like the equivalent amount of computing power that, you know, that we had in a Pentium. I mean, mm-hmm. probably even less than that. I mean, a Pentium probably would have blown it away, mm-hmm. right? Things have changed so, 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 so much. But construction, especially within the small and mid-size business arena mm-hmm. of constructions and contractors, and right? So you have a lot of your sole proprietor construction companies, your LLCs, S-Corps, and then you'll have your smaller privately held corporations within the construction industry, and they just haven't changed much. Mm-hmm. I'm blown away at how many contractors and people that are working in the construction related trades still aren't using a proper accounting system. Mm. So, you know, why are we doing the contractor series? Because we need to be able to speak directly to a group of individuals in an industry who are being affected drastically mm. by technology. So one of the great travesties, in my humble opinion, is the loss of the family farm, mm. right? I was in the 90s, I was out literally knocking door to door doing insurance sales, mm-hmm. okay? And that was the majority of my clientele were independent family-owned farms. That was a lot of the people that I would go door-to-door and I would sell them the insurance, that accident and health insurance that I was selling at the time. Mm-hmm. Okay. I can't even tell you how many times that I sat around a kitchen table with a farmer that was telling me that he was going out of business and he was trying to find one of these corporate farms that would just buy him out. Mm-hmm. But tears in their eyes. I mean, it was heartbreaking. Right, they just couldn't handle the ups and downs of the weather cycles, mm-hmm. and they just weren't deep-pocketed enough to be able to make it through. And depending on what the government was doing with their different programs, it just ruined it. Well, I have been watching now for 2 decades as this same process is happening within the construction industry. And it doesn't have to happen with the construction industry, right? We don't need to have the loss of the family-owned construction company. Mm-hmm. But we have to educate those individuals that are running the small to mid-sized construction companies how to take advantage of technology so that they can stay competitive and that they can stay in business. Mm-hmm. Especially as we're running headlong into this next recession, people are going to need to know how they can put food on the table. Mm-hmm. Not everybody is going to be able to be peddling shoes and t-shirts that they bought from a big wholesaler online, mm-hmm. and then make their own, you know, small shop where they're just reselling this for a little bit of money. We need repairmen, we need handymen, we need plumbers, we need electricians, we need welders, we need lawn care, we need everything that the construction trades have, and we need it on an independent basis. Mm. And there's going to be a lot of people, a lot of families that are going to know that when they, you know, unfortunately they're lost a job, as all recessions go through, you know, great job loss, mm-hmm. they're going to be looking at the construction trades to determine, how can I put food on the table? So that's why we are doing specifically a contractor series. Now, for every seasoned contractor or brand new startup, we really need to make sure that there's a clear delineation, a line where we understand what's the difference between sales and marketing. Mm-hmm. We hear them grouped together, as we talked about in episode 2, right? It's not sales and marketing. We have sales and we have marketing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so specifically for the contractor, and we're going to get into it, some real specifics. It is really important that we understand a couple key aspects to what makes marketing marketing. Mm-hmm. As we talked about in the last episode, marketing is the strategy that we implement to help people identify our brand, mm-hmm. who we are, whether it's your name, you know, John Smith Plumbing, and you're really identifying who you are with your personal brand, mm-hmm. or it is Houston, Texas Plumbing. Whatever is that brand, people need to be familiar with it so that when it comes to making the purchasing decision, that there's a sense of calm and a sense of familiarity, because we've tapped into that mirror exposure effect, that psychological mm-hmm. aspect of our human nature. But specifically, we have to understand that the marketing process has some very clearly delineated steps that have more than ever, with the acceleration of technology, we have been able to identify more than ever how the psychology of a person reacts to stimuli. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing an ever shrinking attention span to certain things. Mm-hmm. So now we have a very clear way of strategizing the process of your marketing plan. And it boils down to this very easy to remember formula. 3-30-3. Not 33. Mm-hmm. 3-30-3-0-3. Mm-hmm. What does this mean? We have to first understand, as we just watch your own behavior, as you're flipping through, scrolling through, looking at the list of options, for instance, on YouTube, mm-hmm. and you're looking at a list of thumbnails, how long does it take your eye to scan over a thumbnail, have that thumbnail capture your attention, and then look at the title? How long, when you've put in a search for something like Houston, Texas Plumbing, do you get the results and the first thing you'll do is you'll look for the little ad, that little teeny rectangle that says ad, mm-hmm. ad, and you're scanning over the ads and you're looking for the first organic listing. Mm-hmm. How long does that take? Well, we average that about 3 seconds that you're going to be scanning and reading each title, each heading in a search bar, each title on a YouTube video, each title in a podcast, mm-hmm. right? And that's your 3 seconds. You have 3 seconds to capture somebody's attention with your brand. Mm-hmm. Now, let's say you capture their attention. You did your job. You have a engaging image, you have an engaging title, it's building, it's creating some type of curiosity, it's answering some type of question that the viewer, your potential prospect, has already in their mind at the time they're scanning. Mm-hmm. They click. Okay, good job. You've accomplished the first goal. Mm-hmm. Now you have 30 seconds. I cannot even emphasize enough how 30 seconds is the maximum you have. Okay, there are some people who teach different numbers, and there's a good case for the 10 to 15 second calculation, but we use 30. 30 is, you really do need to have your hook out within 10 to 15 seconds, but you have really a maximum of 30 seconds before somebody's going to click away from that initial message. Mm-hmm. So you answered their question, hopefully you did it honestly. You got them to click on your listing, wherever that listing is, search engine, YouTube, podcast, Twitter, whatever. And now they're into the meat of your message. You need to capture their attention now within that 30 seconds. And after that, they will determine whether or not they're gonna give you 3 minutes of their time. Mm. That's it. Three seconds to just get them, right, to click. You have 30 seconds then to engage them to continue to listen to your message, and then you have 3 minutes to give them something of value that they're going to take, whatever that next step is. In some cases, that next step is to listen to another 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. In some cases, you'll have a call to action right there. But we have to, what we really have to understand, especially within the construction industry, you haven't sold a thing. All you're doing is marketing. All you're doing is trying to separate yourself from the herd. So we didn't get into a lot of detail on this in the last episode, but this is really where the core of marketing is in this new world of technology. Because it's free and easy and you can market yourself like crazy and it only costs you time, you have to be able to separate yourself from the herd. That is your number one goal. Mm-hmm. How are you going to take the uniqueness of yourself and attach it to something that probably thousands or tens of thousands of other people are already doing? That's what you have to do to brand and to separate yourself. Mm. Now, this becomes a challenge when it comes to marketing, especially where the construction trades are concerned. Because again, construction is construction, right? We lay concrete a certain way, right? Or pour a concrete in a certain way. There's a way to frame a house. There's a way to fix a sink, okay? But the unique aspect of the whole process is you. And so the contractor really needs to, one, understand what is their real niche. Do they build log homes? Do they build cape homes? Do they, you know, have a particular type of smart home technology that they're already very knowledgeable on? Mm-hmm. What is it about what you do that separates you from your competition? So that's number one, right? Mm-hmm. Really understand what your specialty is. Then be able to identify who it is that's out there, your target market, and where are they at? You've got to be able to be where they're at in order to be able to connect with them. Now, it may seem kind of counterintuitive, but the DIY market, because it's enormous, it's a great place to build your credibility, right? If you're just helping people with their projects, when they get into a project that's going to be over their head, who are they going to go to? Are they just going to go out to the guy who's really using his marketing to sell? Or will they choose somebody that has just been sharing valuable information and gaining people's trust? There's a big difference between using YouTube to sell and using YouTube to market.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Does that make sense? Where what we're doing when we're building our brand and our credibility is we are giving people reasons to trust us. But if all you're doing is you're making a video and saying, you know, I can do this, I can do that, I can help you, you know, just call me up, this is my number.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't given anybody any value. You've skipped the marketing aspect, right? That's what we were talking about in the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
You can't skip the marketing. You've got to build your credibility somehow. And in this day and age, with the hugely expanded amount of consumer knowledge base, you cannot skip this step.
Mm-hmm.
And the people in your local area as a contractor, the people in your local area that are taking advantage of this are going to dominate as this continues to build and build and build in this direction.
Mm.
So people that are just kind of, I'm okay, you know, business is all right, I've got enough to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be some millennial that's going to come up and they're going to understand how to market. They will learn the sales cycle, they'll learn the selling skills, and all of a sudden, these companies are going to be going out of business like crazy. I mean, and unfortunately, that is what I have seen in the last 20 years of consulting. I've seen so many good companies, good families, guys who really understand the sales process, really understand how to bring value and listen, connect people through the selling process with the products and services that they need. They understand sales and they're going out of business because they just don't understand marketing in the new modern age. And it has to change. In order for a construction company to actually stay viable over the next 5 to 10 years, we absolutely have to make sure that as business owners of construction companies or construction-related trades, that we're figuring out what it is that we can do. Now, at this point, I really want to open up and make sure that everybody knows this is why we're taking questions,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's so broad. On qualitytrades.com, we have over 25 trades right now that we are helping. We have, you know, more people and more trades that are coming on and signing up all the time. And we are going to be expanding our trades catalog as we continue to grow. But those 25 trades that we're currently cataloging, there is so much that goes into each one of those trades, the strategy for each one, the specialties, the niche markets, you know, anywhere from, you know, what's happening in the luxury market as to what's happening, you know, in a more mid-range. These are drastically different. The mentalities of the people are different. So not only do we have to consider the 3, 30, and 3 of the marketing strategy, but we really have to understand our target market. Who are we talking to? And typically, what is like the personality type? I mean, I don't know how many of our contractors are taking the time to learn and apply, you know, personality profiling as a method of their selling process,
mm-hmm.
right? Because if they understand that for selling, that has to go into the marketing strategy, right? We can't just make one marketing slogan and think that that's going to touch, you know, all the different type of personality types that are out there,
mm-hmm.
right? We have to be thinking the breadth of what we're going to be servicing. So please, I can't emphasize it enough that in order for us to really get specific, for us to be able to help, our listeners have to be sending in questions
mm-hmm.
that are really, really, really specific. So for instance, if somebody is about to go into a meeting, okay, for instance, let's say that they have a meeting and it's a week away, and they know the major players that are going to be part of this meeting for this bid. And let's say it's a pretty good sized job, $1-3 million, right? We need to identify the players and are you going to be making a presentation, right? How do we go through the process of actually making that presentation to be able to touch the needs and what's the important aspects of your project for each personality type. Make sure that you're actually connecting with people, even though you only have one shot, you got one presentation, right? Or maybe you're just meeting with a homeowner, right? Maybe it's a couple, maybe it's a husband and wife you're gonna be meeting with. Have you already met with them once and now you're gonna be going and presenting the bid? Now, do you just, you know, send them the bid in the mail? Do you just drop by and stop it by and there's the number? Or you actually set a time with them, sit down, make sure that they understand what's going on in the bid, and then close the sale. Why wait? Mm-hmm. Right? There are so many aspects of the fact that, again, like we talked about in episode 2, sales is not marketing, but marketing is not sales. Even if you're able to go out there, and let's say that you are using one of these large lead generation services, right? And so you're using that right now as your marketing. And you're getting the opportunity to put bids out like crazy. Bid, 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 bid. Man, those companies love it, right? Because what are you doing? You're spending money on every single one of those leads, and they don't care at all if you are closing the deals. Mm-hmm. That's completely up to you. Well, if you haven't tapped into the mirror exposure effect, if you haven't already marketed so that they feel familiar with you, you're already notched down. I mean, you already have penalties against your selling process, because that's a huge aspect of the buying process in the decision making. Your prospect has to know who you are and why you can be trusted. So just because you're getting the lead does not eliminate the fact that you still have to be marketing, mm-hmm. right? And if you're not already tracking your bid to loss ratio, your bid to win ratio, mm-hmm. right, then you are totally mismanaging your business. Because one of the things that these lead generation websites give us a false sense of is that all I need is leads, and then I'm a good salesman, I'm gonna be able to go out there and sell. You've missed the point of marketing, right? Because all you're doing then is you're just like going in a lineup, and they're just gonna pick whatever, you know, the lowest cost or whoever they happen to click with on their personality type. So there's a lot that goes into the selling process for a contractor. But when you're just leveling the field between you and every other one of your competitors, because all you're doing is just getting a lead and going out there and trying to pencil whip as many bids as you can, you're losing a lot of stinking money. And that is gonna be one expensive marketing strategy. Mm-hmm. But if you go at putting the strategy together with some real forethought and understanding the psychology of how every business transaction happens, everyone across industries, you tap into that mirror exposure effect and you really market properly. Build credibility of yourself and your business. Really build the aspect of familiarity for your brand and your business. You're gonna find that when you walk in to give a bid and somebody already knows your name, you are not on a level playing field anymore. You have just ratcheted yourself up into a completely different place where none of your competitors are gonna be able to handle what you got, right? They're not gonna be able to compete with you. So that's this process. This process of recognizing that sales is not marketing, and that the marketing process for contractors is an absolute must, especially with regards to the fact that consumers are much, much more informed than they ever have been, ever in the past. Mm-hmm. And you're not just going to be able to waltz in, you know, and just sell something off of a legal pad and just sketching some numbers down. The game has changed. If you want to truly be successful, if you want to have a company that's going to grow, then you've got to learn these things and start to apply them into your business.
All right, that sounds actually like a really good way to end this. Because we have run out of time for this episode, but you can hop over to the next podcast. Before you leave, make sure to stop by patriaco.com and ask all of your most challenging business questions. Because we will be answering them all anonymously, make sure to ask with as much detail as you can spare so that we can give the most specific answer for you and anyone like you that may be in a similar situation. Again, this has been JJ and Joshua Brewer on Your Business or Your Life.
See you next time.
Thank you for investing some of your day with us. If you would like to ask a question anonymously, please visit patriaco.com. That's patriaco.com, and open a support ticket with your question. To listen to more episodes of Your Business or Your Life, please visit podcast.patriaco.com. Again, that's patriaco.com. To connect with Joshua directly on LinkedIn, look him up at Joshua D. Brewer.